This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabach, your host. Very excited to be with you tonight. It's a Friday night before Christmas. You really can't do better than that. Tis the season. We're heading into a weekend with holiday cheer in the air, Christmas shopping, Christmas cookies, family starting to roll in. That could be good or bad. I think it's good. Just a great night here in Wisconsin. We are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay here at City Deck Landing. Great to have you with me. Riding shotgun, as always, is Conrad. Conrad, how you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing great.
Yeah, I like that shirt. What are you working there?
It's
like a kind of a like
it's a quilted flannel is the one of the Black Friday deals that I got.
Really?
Yeah.
For yourself?
Yeah, I saw it online and I was like,
I deserve it.
That looks nice.
It looks very warm.
Guess the deal.
$20?
It was $20. Guess how much it was originally.
Oh, originally. $50.
$75.
Whoa.
But
so
I
was
got
inside,
it
inside like fleece or something?
Not really, actually. It's like it's kind of lined. It's okay. Warmer. It's not like
yeah.
But yeah. $20.
$20. Marked down from 70. So they say.
So I got this with a puffer jacket.
Okay.
And the puffer jacket didn't come. It said delivered. So I've been online with the Fabletics people trying to get, like, where is it?
That's how they get you.
Yeah, they just want me to buy another puffer jacket. Sorry, we can't find it. You're going to have to buy another one.
See, you thought you were getting $70 worth of clothes for $20. You got $4 worth of clothes for $20.
Yep.
And that's how they get. And they know you'll give up. Eventually, they know you'll give up and stop tracking them down. So don't do it. Yeah, fun show tonight. We've got some fun. This is the day. I'm going to lead with this. I'm not going to bury the lead. Dumb and Dumber was released today, ladies and gentlemen. In 1994, the great Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels teamed up under the great comedy producer, writer, the Farrelly Brothers. That was the film that kind of put them on the map as comedy writers. And the Farrelly style was released to America. And it has been they're very prolific. These guys put out so many movies, and most of them are great. And Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, in this particular one, to me, I feel like Dumb and Dumber is one of the greatest comedies of all time. And I know that people out there listening might go, oh, it's a silly comedy. Yeah, it is. But when you think about how consistent it is, the pace of it, the gags, the acting, it is almost a perfect comedy. It's paced well. It's not too long. It's hilarious, first and foremost. And there's a great story about Dumb and Dumber. I heard this. I can't confirm it. It could be, but it's not the kind of thing anybody would make up. Apparently, Dumb and Dumber was being shot. And during the shooting, Peter and Bobby Farrelly got a call. And it was their first movie they were directing. I think they co-directed it. And they were kind of nervous, whatever. During the filming, Ace Ventura came out and made Jim Carrey the biggest star in the world. And all of a sudden, they're shooting a film that is going to be the follow-up to Ace Ventura. They have the biggest movie star in the world in their movie. In their first movie. I mean, this got to be like Merry Christmas to all. What a gift that was.
Lloyd Christmas.
Lloyd Christmas. That's right. But such a cool thing. Oh, all of a sudden we have the... I mean, that's half the battle making a movie is getting people to see it. And to do that, you get a big name in it. And now these guys are making a movie with the big... I mean, what a cool story. So, but Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, two just phenomenal actors in their own right. And they worked really well together. I love the movie. Absolutely love it. When I first saw it in the theater with my wife, I was kind of like, what the heck am I watching? This is so crazy. And then all night I was just cracking up, laughing at the gags. I was laughing in the theater too, but I didn't, it was one of those movies. I didn't realize how much I loved it until I thought about it later, even though I laughed hysterically. So I love it. Made before you were born though, Conrad.
Yeah.
But you still found it?
Oh yeah. That's, I can't remember obviously when I first saw it, but it's one of the earlier comedies that like raunchy kind of, you know, that I watched, I think. And I just was like, this is hilarious.
It, and, but you know what? I will take issue with that. I don't even think it's raunchy. There are gags in it where you're kind of like, I mean, there's the Jeff Daniels in the toilet gag, whatever you want. You know,
would you show it to a really like a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old?
I did. I showed it to my kids. And of course, that was their favorite scene when they were 9 and 4. You know, but they laughed at all the right stuff too, like all the Jim Carrey crazy stuff. And it was kind of funny where we lived. In LA, we lived in this huge apartment building, for a long time. And then we eventually moved out and rented a house. But one of our neighbors is the valet in the movie. His name is Joe Baker. He's an old English comic. He's since passed away, but man, was it fun to talk to him about that movie. And he's the guy that Jim Carrey's throwing money around to and tipping. And he's, thank you, sir. So great. But I love the movie. My kids love it. To this day, it's one of our favorite comedies. Just brings a smile to my face. Even thinking about it, so great. So that was released today, and it spurred our, or sort of inspired tonight's question. Are we ready to unleash the question on the listeners? Let's do it.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is your favorite comedy duo? Who is your favorite comedy duo? Comedy team? We'll accept the team too. We're looking for twos though, for the most part. You got one, Conrad?
I don't know if you're going to like mine.
Hold on.
Yeah,
Kate McKinnon
guess.
And anyone she's in a scene with.
You know, I wasn't thinking about that, but now.
Shoot.
It is Adam Sandler and Kevin James. Those two together are dynamite. They're so funny.
Okay. They've made some big hits, for sure. And you love Mall Cop, right? As do I.
I love Mall Cop.
We bonded over Mall Cop. Yeah, that's tough, because it's not like I don't think Adam Sandler's funny. I do. I don't think his movies are great movies. He's funny in them. I'm not a hater by any stretch. But to say greatest, that's...
Okay.
Putting yourself out there.
There's another one I really like.
Hold on. I'll say this. I like Paul Blart,
yeah,
better than I like any Adam Sandler. I think it's got a sweetness to it. I think Kevin James is really funny, and I think there's good comedy in it.
I really like Grown Ups with them, but I guess in Grown Ups it's not just them too. It's a whole
ensemble.
It's
yeah,
a whole yeah. So okay, I'll actually change my answer because I really,
no. I don't mean to
no because right. I do like these two a lot.
Okay,
and that's Kevin Hart, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Interesting. I haven't seen a movie with those two
really
together. Yeah,
they're so funny together.
Yeah.
And like if you look at bloopers with them, they always just make fun of each other and it's hilarious.
How could they possibly make fun of each other? One's 5'1" and the other one's a mountain. So, all right. Those are both great answers. Conrad says Adam Sandler, Kevin James, and also Kevin Hart and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm going to go old school and I'm going to say Jackie Gleason and Art Carney. And I might add to that as the night goes on. But I will say for Dumb and Dumber, Jeff Daniels and Jim Carrey. I mean, you can't. We have a couple clips we'll play, some of our favorite scenes from the movie as the show goes on. But in the meantime, let us know, who is your favorite comedy duo? Could be Laverne and Shirley. You could go with fictional characters. George and Gracie. You know, there's a whole bunch of them. I like two guys we had on this show about a month ago, Steve and Leo. If you watch them do comedy, they were mostly in clubs, but they were on TV quite a bit. The chemistry is unbelievable. They were one of my all-time favorite comedy duos, even though they're not household names. They did go on to write things that became household names, like The Santa Claus and Space Jam and Kicking and Screaming, but they were absolutely just beautiful to watch. So who is your favorite comedy duo or team? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know on the text line or on the app, however you want to reach out. Just please reach out. It's always more fun when you guys are part of the show. We have great guests tonight, too. We're going to talk some Packers-Lions with Mike Clemens. Yeah. He'll be along shortly. We'll get Conrad's thoughts on that in just a few as well. I'm sure that was a rough night for you, buddy.
Yeah.
And then we've got at 7:05, Lisa O'Hearn from the Sister Bay Historical Society will be here to talk about their Christmas market days. So there's an event happening in Sister Bay. If you're in Northeast Wisconsin and want to drive up the peninsula, it promises to be a lot of fun. Or if you want to take a road trip from anywhere in the state. And then at, this is very special. What is it, Conrad? It's Friday. That can only mean one thing.
Well, it's Bar Band Friday.
Bar Band Friday, baby. Terry Barr is going to join us at 7:35. She always brings us great music. And we were, the segment was in peril. Because Terry said, I think someone they were going to have on the show got sick and had to cancel, but she found someone new, and I love the song she sent us. So I can't wait to talk to her about that. It is Bar Band Friday night. Terry will be here at 7:35. As always, so much fun. One of my favorite segments of the week. I have to tell you, we had a meeting today.
Yep.
We had a big company. Well, not a company-wide, but a Northeast Wisconsin.
Station.
Station-wide. That was fun. It was nice to see everybody, but yeah. I got to tell you, here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. She comes home, and I said this last night, they're trying to kill us. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets. There's snacks. It's like, what is happening? It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki Zerjev keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. Yeah. I'm not kidding. I probably ate 12 of those today. And the phrase, you are what you eat, is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show. I felt like a Biscoff cookie. I just had that taste in my mouth, and I felt kind of doughy, and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie. I don't know how that happened.
Do you dip them in coffee?
You know what? No, but
it's so good.
If I had a cup of coffee right now, I would do it. No, I know. I love having those in the morning with coffee. I do that periodically. They're so good. I don't know what there's a little ginger in there, maybe something. I don't know how they do it, but they're delicious. And I ate way too many of them tonight. And it reminded me of the time I took Vicodin. I'm going to save this for after the break. This is my Vicodin story. I'll do that. And same way with the Biscoff, I felt like Vicodin. Biscoff's probably a little healthier. All right. And then we have a very special thing coming up too. Conrad has a new, I don't want to call it perfume, a cologne maybe?
It's a new gig, you know?
Yeah, it's a new gig.
I did a side hustle.
He's trying to become a fragrance millionaire. We'll hear that next, too. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I keep seeing this picture of you. Here comes my baby. Here she comes now. Baby, here she comes now. Walking with a love, with a love that's so, so fine. Never to be mine, no matter how I try.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Joe in the 715 says, favorite comedy duo is Bob Odenkirk and Chris Farley. Oh, interesting. Man in a Van Down by the River. Matt, what's his name? Matt. I kind of liked it because Bob wrote that sketch. Another great story. While he was a waiter at Ed DeBevick's in Chicago, he looked up at the TV that was on in the restaurant while he was taking someone's order, and Chris Farley was performing the sketch that Bob wrote. And then Bob went on to become a megastar and is one of my favorite performers. So great. That's a great one, Joe. Thank you. From the 608, was going to say Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin, but then I thought of Cheech and Chong and the Smothers Brothers. Too many to pick one. Yes. That's Monica in the 608. I totally agree, Monica. It is hard to... It's just fun to list them, even if you don't have to zero in on any one particular. Bill from Green Bay in the 920 says, Pretty Bird, Pretty Bird. That's from Dumb and Dumber. the blind kid holding the bird with no head. Yeah. That's a great one. Anna from the 608 says, my favorite comedy duo is Woody Harrelson and Dennis Quaid in Kingpin.
I love that
Another
movie.
Farrelly Brothers movie. I do too. Here, okay, Anna, since you shared that, I'm going to share my favorite, and I'm glad knowing. I think I can say this because I don't think anybody's really going to know what I'm talking about, but Roy comes out and says, morning, hope you don't mind. I got up a little early, so I took the liberty of milking your cow for you. Yeah, it took a little while to get her warmed up. She sure is a stubborn one. Then pow, all at once. Mr. Borg says, we don't have a cow. We have a bull. Oh, my God. I forgot about that line. And then the woman who, she was in Something About Mary, too. When Woody Harrelson, she makes Woody Harrelson sleep with her. Because he was late on the rent. And then he's puking, and her line is, she's laying in bed, and she says, I don't know what it is about good sex. It always makes me have to crap. Oh, he says, you really jarred something loose there, Tiger. Very funny stuff. Great text. Keep them coming. Who is your favorite comedy duo or comedy team? Send us your text. We'll read it on the radio. All right, this is exciting. We have a new, we're starting to roll out some merch here at Nightlight. And if you're wondering what to buy people for Christmas, I think this could be helpful. It's pretty inexpensive. Wouldn't you say, Conrad? I mean, you're not asking for the moon here when it comes to money.
Well, let me just tell you a little how this side gig came to be. You know, it was just a random Tuesday, and I see email from Quick Trip. I'm like, well, that's kind of, never really receive emails. And they said, hey, Conrad, you're one of our most loyal customers. We want to do something special for you this holiday. I was like, well, that's cool. And I never rolled anything out before. And they said, we got a big idea for you. How would you like to have your name on some cologne?
Wow.
I was like, I can't pass that up.
With the Quick Trip logo above it. That's, yeah. Let's talk about chick magnet.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear the ad. Conrad put this together. This is for his own merch. Keep an open mind, folks. Christmas is right around the corner.
Introducing Con's new scent. Smell like Quick Trip. I know what you're thinking, why would that smell good? But just imagine putting it on in the morning. Fresh warm donuts, coffee, chicken sandwich, gasoline, a fresh car wash. Those tree things that make your car smell nice. Quick Trip. Cologne by Con.
So only a Quick Trip.
I love it. You really did some serious research there. Those tree things that make your house.
You know, it just flowed.
We're going to have to hear that again at some point of the night because I think all those fragrances rolled into one. You could do that. You could buy Conrad Quick Trip by Conrad or Conrad by Quick Trip, or just put a couple slices of bologna in your pockets. You'll smell very similar.
Smell similar, yes.
I'm not sure if we can lift the Modelo music like we did. We could probably get in trouble for that. We probably should have ran that by Todd first. But there, what would you pay for that? What would you charge?
Right, currently...
A bottle that is like the size of like a little energy thing or something?
So it's actually in a gasoline can.
Oh.
And it has the Quick Trip logo on it.
It's just kind of a blue-collar smell.
Yeah, and I'm selling it for $120.
$120, folks.
Plus shipping.
Line up. Text us if you're interested, and we'll steer you in the right direction. You could smell like Conrad throughout the holidays. Don't just limit it to Christmas. Listen, if you're if you all make Conrad a fragrance millionaire, I realize we're gonna have to hire a new producer. But if I could see Conrad sitting in a mansion over the Fox River, you'd probably want Lambeau Field in your view.
I'd just be living in Lambeau Field.
You'd be living in Lambeau Field, exactly. to go from that to the Packers, we should probably put some cushion in there. Let's talk about your feelings about the game after we talk to Mike.
Okay.
Because when Mike is here at 6:35, he'll probably help you formulate how exactly you feel about the game. Jim from the 920 says, oh, let's see so many Martin and Lewis. Yarnell, Shields and Yarnell, yes. Gleason and Carney, yes. So many. Thank you, Jim. You're right. I said Gleason and Carney, but like what Joe did with Odenkirk and Farley, even if you do one film together, you can be a great comedy team as far as I'm concerned. So I'm going to add Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin to my list from Midnight Run, one of my all-time favorite movies. They played off each other perfectly. So keep those suggestions coming. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Who is your favorite comedy duo? You know, this is kind of weird. I was going to do a whole thing on this, but I can't seem to get the guest I want. Jim Abrahams died. He was a great comedy writer. He wrote Naked Gun. He worked with the Zucker Brothers a lot. They were also Wisconsin guys. Jim, as I understand it, grew up in northern Wisconsin or vacationed there. I don't have the whole story yet, but spent a fair amount of time in northern Wisconsin. And he was part of some phenomenal films. I'm Facebook friends with Pat Proft, who also wrote Hot Shots and Naked Gun. And Pat wrote Real Genius, which we talked about recently on this show. John Grimes was on the show, Uncle Rico. He was in Real Genius. I really want to get Pat on the show. I don't know if he's a radio type guy. I don't even know him. But I did. I reached out to him through Facebook Messenger. I just wrote him this glowing message saying how I'd love for him to come on and talk about his friend Jim Abrahams and some of the work they did together. And he just sent a heart back. So he acknowledged it.
I don't know what that means.
He acknowledged it like, hey, thanks for the great words. But I guess that means he doesn't want to come on the radio. So I'm going to pursue this though. Kind of like I did with, what was her name? Sophia Coppola. Yeah. All right. Mike Clemens is coming up next, folks, to tell us everything we know about last night's game with the Packers and the Lions. It's Night Light with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me on this Friday night. We are barreling toward the weekend. Our question tonight is, who is your favorite comedy duo? And you can get in on the fun. I love reading your texts. I love when you guys are part of the show. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. My most recent one I thought of was Charles Grodin and Robert De Niro in Midnight Run. Absolutely love it. A must watch if you haven't seen it. Right now, I'm about to become maybe not a comedy duo, but I'm teaming up here with Mike Clemens of Civic Media. He is he's one of our own. He's one of the family. Would you call him family, Conrad?
Of course.
Yeah. I'd love to be a Clemens. He joins us now on the Packers beat. Mike Clemens, how are you, buddy?
Groucho and Chico in Day at the Races.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. I knew you were going to have somebody, Mike. That's a great one.
Well, I was thinking about the Avery Schreiber and Burns. Was it Schreiber and Burns that were on Ed Sullivan when I was a kid?
Oh, wow.
You've had Tom Dreesen on the show, right?
Yeah.
You know, and he started out with Tim.
Tim Reed.
Tim, yeah.
Yeah.
And that, you know what? I've actually seen some of their stuff now on YouTube. They were great together.
They were. And they were. Tom told me when he was on the show, they were the first interracial comedy duo, I believe. And I believe him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of groundbreaking.
I heard part of the interview, too. So, but anyway, they were brilliant together. And Tim was brilliant in. As Venus Flytrap and WKRP in Cincinnati, and Tom is, you know, respected by Letterman. I mean, you know, people just love him and his comedy and all the charity stuff that he's done.
And he opened for Sinatra for decades. I mean,
and he's got great Sinatra stories, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he just calls him Frank. I mean, how cool is that? You know?
Yeah, pretty cool.
Well, it's great to have you, Mike. I know I was going to ask Conrad his feelings about the game last night, but I thought we would do better to listen to you first and help you digest what happened last night. Was it that close? Is Dan Campbell crazy? Should the Packers have won? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know what I want to do is first just get out a couple of headlines that we're watching.
Yeah.
The Bucks are in Boston tonight to take on the Celtics, and what's really significant is they finally get Chris Middleton back.
Yeah.
He had he had surgery on both his ankles last summer after some injuries he had at the end of last season.
Right.
But they're excited to finally have him back. Another basketball game is tomorrow when the Wisconsin Badgers men's team goes to Milwaukee to play Marquette at Fiserv Forum, and that's at 12:30.
Yeah.
And then tonight at the Fieldhouse in Madison, the Wisconsin women's volleyball team is in that tournament, led by Sarah Franklin, who was named Big Ten Player of the Year for a second year in a row. That's never happened for the Badgers. And they're taking on number 7th-ranked Georgia Tech. But the rest of the time, yeah, I want to talk to the people, Pete, that maybe didn't get a chance to see the game last night and wonder what everything that's going on, okay? So I want to keep it simple, but tell them the significance of what happened last night. First of all, the Detroit Lions have had a horrible team there was a stretch there up until a couple of years ago, up until Dan Campbell took over as their head coach, where they had not won a game in Wisconsin, beating the Packers for 26 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was even when they had Matthew Stafford at quarterback.
Wow.
There was a season 10, 11 years ago where they went 0-16. Didn't win a game all year. So Dan Campbell came on about 2 years after Matt LaFleur started in Green Bay, and I think he won one game his first year. I think he went 1-6 the next year, and then they started to turn around.
Right.
And now I think he's beaten the Packers five out of six games?
Six out of seven. I saw that.
Is that it?
Chiron
yeah.
last
six
night.
Out of seven.
Yeah.
They won their 11th game in a row last night, which breaks the franchise record or sets a new standard. It'd been 90 years since they'd won 8 games in a row back in 1934 when the first name of the head coach was a guy named Potsy. So I'm in Detroit still. I'm going to come back to Wisconsin tomorrow. They have signs everywhere, Pete, on TV, billboards, T-shirts that say all in. They cannot believe how good this team is, and they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And last night, they had a pretty amazing performance because they came into the game with 18 of their players on injured reserve. Most of them can't return.
Whoa.
13 of them are on defense. 4 of the guys who started for Dan Campbell and their defensive coordinator on defense, 4 of them, were not members of the Lions a week ago. They're signing guys off the street. So it's that against Jordan Love and that offense that put on such a nice show on Thanksgiving night against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
They drew 34 million viewers from Lambeau Field last week, which set a new ratings record. Last year, the record was broken by the Packers when they came here to Detroit and beat the Lions, who were heavily favored then, the young Packers team, Jordan Love's first year at quarterback. And they shocked them. They jumped out to a 20-6 lead and beat them. That was 33 million on Thanksgiving Day. So I haven't seen what the numbers were from last night's game. I'm sure that they're huge. But the Lions have this tremendous offense led by Jared Goff at quarterback and 2 great running backs in Jahmyr Gibbs, who's speedy, and David Montgomery, a former Bear. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of guys on this team that have a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
Their quarterback, Jared Goff, he'd played for the Rams, and the Rams traded Jared Goff, their quarterback, to the Lions for Matthew Stafford and a bunch of draft picks. And Stafford ended up taking the Rams to a Super Bowl and winning it.
Right.
But Jared Goff has played with a guy with his chip on his shoulder. Now he's on the hot team. And last night they jumped out to a 17-7 lead over the Packers. Then in the second half, Keyshawn Nixon, a defensive back for the Packers, picked off Jared Goff. Not easy to do. He's a very accurate passer.
Yeah.
This year. And then Jordan Love and the offense was able to score, and the Packers took the lead for the first time in the game, the third quarter. And it went back and forth and back and forth. Then it gets down to the last couple of minutes. and the Lions get the ball, and son of a gun, they complete a couple of passes over the middle, and they get down to the 21-yard line, and there's like 43 seconds left, and the clock is starting to tick away. And people just assumed, okay, it's third and one. They're trying to see if they can extend it, keep the ball away from the Packers, kick a winning field goal because it's tied at 31-31. And instead, after third and one, the Lions use a timeout, and Dan Campbell, the head coach, is standing there, and he's like, he's thinking about it. So he goes back and sends the offense back out there on fourth and one. Like, you don't have to.
Right.
Just kick a field goal, and you'll go ahead. But he did not want to let Jordan Love back on the field with, you know, maybe 37 seconds and a, you know, chance to run three or four plays. You know, there was a time 7 or 8 years ago where we were here, and Aaron Rodgers had trailed the whole game, and then he threw a 61-yard Hail Mary to Richard Rodgers, and they beat the Lions the last play of the game. They called it the miracle at Motown. And, you know, even though Dan Campbell wasn't here for that, he knows that's in the minds of Lions fans. So they went for it on fourth and one. So the quarterback, Jared Goff, takes the ball. He's going to hand it off to his power running back, David Montgomery. And Goff falls down on his knee. He falls down. He still manages to get the ball into the running back's hands, who runs off to the right, picks up 7 yards. Then they run another play. Then they kick the field goal with 2 seconds left, and they walk off the field winners, 34-31. And Jordan Love is standing there in the sidelines without a second chance. Unbelievable.
Mike, it's unbelievable, but it's also, like you said, there were 34 seconds left on the clock, and the Packers didn't have any timeouts, and he still didn't want them to have the ball. Like, is Dan Campbell just gutsy enough, or is he going to cost his team a Super Bowl? He cost them a playoff game, I think it was last year. He almost cost them the game last night when he went for it on fourth down.
You're right. It was actually the NFC Championship.
Okay, right.
The 49ers, and there was twice in that game he went for it on fourth down, failed. The 49ers took advantage and scored, and some people blame his decision to go. The thing about it on fourth down is this. You know, you've got first down, second down, third down. And then, unless you're in the other end of the field and your opponent's end of the field, you know, you're over the 50-yard line, traditionally it's just, okay, it's fourth down. We don't want to risk it. We'll punt. We'll put the ball down the other end of the field. We'll let our defense get out there. Now, some people thought with all those injuries on the Lions' defense, he didn't trust his, you know, he was going to trust his offense.
Okay.
But he didn't trust his defense with all those, you know, fill-in guys, substitute players, to do it. And we talked in kind of a round table in the press box with some of the guys from the Detroit media. A couple of national guys were there. And they said, first of all, one guy covered Dan when he was with the Miami Dolphins, and Joe Philbin, former Packers offensive coordinator, got fired. So Dan became the interim coach, and they went from like a 1-4 record, 1-3 record, to they finished 5-17, or 5-7 rather, 5-7.
Right.
But those Dolphin players loved him as a coach. They wanted him to stay, but the Dolphins didn't hire him. So instead he gets his chance a few years later here as the head coach of the Lions. And you know what? He calls it Danalytics, you know? He goes with his gut.
Yeah.
He doesn't go with the chart, with the analytics. He not only wants his offense to believe that they can convert on a fourth and one, he wants his defense to believe that, okay, and if the offense doesn't do their job, I trust you guys will be able to do their job. So last night he went for it on fourth down 5 times.
Yeah, that's crazy.
5 times. And one time he did it from his own 30-yard line, and they failed. The Packers stopped him. Jordan Love got the ball and scored.
That's the voice of Mike Clemens, by the way, our favorite sports guy who is joining us here on Nightlight. We're breaking down the Packers-Lions game from last night. The advantage, and I was talking about this with my dad last night, Mike, when you go for it that much on fourth down, you know he's not just sending them out there to draw a team off. Like, that seems like that would give him an advantage, right? Like, they might be going for it, so maybe they will jump, or, you know, they're not going to just draw people off. I mean, he's just a very interesting guy.
Well, if you were on the defensive line for the Packers, and this guy is trying to run it against you now for a fifth time in the game, when all he has to do is kick a field goal,
right,
you're probably there saying, don't jump offside. Don't jump. He's trying to draw us. He's trying to sucker us into it. He's just going to have Jared Goff back there and call signals until the clock runs, the play clock runs out, and see if we'll, you know, give him another 5 yards or something. No, they ran the play.
That's crazy.
Which may have surprised the Packers defense. There's a stat: since Dan Campbell took over as head coach of the Lions, they've gone for it on fourth down over the past 4 or 5 years 140 times, and they've converted it 77 times. Most attempts in the NFL, most conversions in the NFL. That's just who they are.
Yeah.
They use up all four downs wherever they are.
So assuming, you know, they'll be the favorite in the NFC, I guess, if they stay the course, and the Packers, what does this do for the Packers play? It seems like they're going to the playoffs. Conrad was pretty, you know, confident about that earlier, but it's such a tough division. You got the Vikings, the Lions, the Packers. Where do you see, as of right now, like, where would the Packers be seeded?
Well, they'd be a wild card team because I don't know if their chances are obliterated at winning the division or nil.
Yeah.
But there's 4 games left. And the Lions, you know, they've moved on. First of all, this whole city is just nuts over this game.
I can't imagine.
Because the Packers, you know, between Favre and Rodgers and now Jordan Love, has been such a nemesis for them. And LaFleur, you know, as head coach now in his 6th year.
Yeah.
But they checked off that box last night with Green Bay. And now their next game, they get this weekend off just like Green Bay does. Then they got to play the Buffalo Bills. But here
that's
Detroit.
A good one. Yeah, that's going to be a great game.
And then a couple more games after that. So they're thinking about home field advantage. And what's on the Lions' mind right now is what are the Philadelphia Eagles are doing? Because the Eagles have come on very strong in the second half of the season. And what's going on with the Vikings, who are in their own division? As for the Packers, well, I got in that locker room, and I talked to Josh Jacobs, who, again, had some big plays, the running back for the Packers. I talked to Tucker Kraft, the great young tight end.
Hey,
got.
Mike, can we just pause
we'll
just
break.
For a second? Yeah, and then come. Let's pick up with that in the locker room.
All right.
All right, Mike Clemens is with us here on Nightlight. It's a Friday night edition. I'm Pete Schwabe. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Mike Clemens is with us. Always fun to have Mike on the show. We're talking about the Packer Lion game from last night, a tough loss for the Packers, talking some Dan Campbell. And Mike was in the locker room last night after the game. Let's pick it up there, Mike.
Get in the Packers locker room. And you know something? It wasn't like they were really down and out. I mean, I saw, you know, Jordan Love there, his locker, and it was like, okay, yeah, we still got 4 games left. You know, we're in the middle of the season. We got things to do. And I was kind of surprised by that. But that's, you know what? As I thought more about it, that goes back to how young the Packers roster is right now. They got long careers ahead of them. You know, when you get guys that are in their 8th or 9th year and they know how precious some of these opportunities are. So the Packers are at 9-4, and you go and talk to Josh Jacobs, who's just so pleased to be out of the Raiders and with this team right now, but a tough loss to the Lions, who clearly are, you know, the class, you know, the best team in the NFC North Division right now. And he said, you know what? We'll see these guys again. And he's like, no, Josh, they beat you at Lambeau. They just beat you tonight here at Ford Field. You face a team in your division twice a year. What are you talking about? Playoffs. Well, we'll be back here in Ford Field as the wild card team in the playoffs. And then Tucker Kraft pretty much said the same thing. Yeah, we'll probably see these guys again. And then you know what that is? They're repeating what their coach had just said in his post-game speech. And so that's LaFleur going into this locker room that just lost on a last-second field goal that had been in a real battle, that had lost a couple of players. Evan Williams has done such a great job as a rookie at safety. He had a concussion. He still looked woozy in the locker room. Javon Bullard, I think it was an ankle injury. I think I saw them sizing him up with crutches to get onto the team bus. But I think LaFleur came in and said, guys, you played your hearts out. There's a lot of things that we need to improve and clean up. But I'm telling you, we'll see these guys again. We'll be back here in the postseason. So, and that you see, is LaFleur making sure these guys understand. Now you got four games left. Don't give up. Your season's not over. It's not over. And so you have something to think about and work about. And as you rest up this weekend, as we come back, and they're gonna go to Seattle next weekend on Sunday Night Football and play the 7-5 Seahawks, led by quarterback Geno Smith. They got the Saints coming into Lambeau. Taysom Hill, the former Packer, was he's been placed on IR. He got to start a quarterback down there, so he won't be in the game. And then you got to play the Vikings up in Minnesota on New Year's Eve weekend. And then you finish up the season in early January at home against the Chicago Bears.
So Seattle's not going to be a cakewalk. I mean, they're kind of hot right now, right?
They are. They're the leaders in their division out there, and they've won some big games. They've won some big games.
Wow. So, Mike, tell me, if I could go off script here, tell me, my Bears, how much of a mess are they? Just the entire organization. So much drama going on there.
Chronically, what's the problem with them for the last 10 or 15 years, essentially since Lovie Smith left, and he'd build up a great defense that got them to a Super Bowl but lost to Peyton Manning and the Colts, is it's ready, fire, aim. You know, you have to hire a GM. You have to let him alone. You have to give him money to get a scouting department. Then he hires a head coach, and then they go out and draft a player together to be the quarterback and to be the key players in there. And instead, they get, Mitch Trubisky, and then they have a defensive coach in there. And then they got to change coaches and get a different one. And by that time, they find out Trubisky's not working out. Okay, let's get another quarterback. So they get Justin Fields. And then they got Matt Eberflus, a defensive coach, in there. And, it goes on and on. And on top of that, Eberflus is a very good defensive coordinator. That's why he got the job. And I think they were sold on, oh, we're the Bears. We survive on defense. 40 years ago, we won a championship with the 85 Bears defense. But no, you just drafted the number one pick at quarterback, and you don't have a running game. And so, you need an offensive coach. So maybe they'll get it right this time. They're going to keep Ryan Poles, the GM. They need to get themselves an offensive coordinator. And a lot of people think they're going to go after the Lions offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson, who's doing a tremendous job right now. Whether he's actually a head coach, ready to be an administrative head coach yet, remains to be seen. I think the Bears would be better if they got someone with some experience.
It's a different animal, because you're right. Who knows what kind of head coach he'll be? And I'm sure, it's just crazy. If you had to make a prediction today, Mike, about Super Bowl, you think it's Lions-Buffalo, Lions-KC? Do you think the Packers surprise people in the postseason? What would your picks be?
I tell you, right now, Eagles and Lions, that's going to be a game to watch.
Yeah.
And I can't get past the Chiefs, just
what
they do. There's other people. We had this talk in the press box till 3 o'clock in the morning. A lot of guys say, I wouldn't be surprised if the Chiefs lose this year in the first round. They've been getting away with murder.
Yeah.
They've been getting away with penalty calls and last-minute plays and things like that. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe the Bills finally beat them this year. But I'll tell you what. I know one guy is happy, Roger Goodell, because the ratings are going to be great for these games the next 5 or 6 weeks.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah. Mike, thank you so much, buddy. Always fun.
Thanks, Pete.
And have a great weekend. Keep up the great work. All right, thanks. That's Mike Clements. Does that help you out in any way, Conrad? You got the...
I know Dan Campbell has guts, and it took guts to do that, so I respect it. But at the same time, I really wish Jordan Love had time on that field.
Well, especially, I didn't know they had that many guys injured on defense. I kind of don't blame them for going for it now on fourth down. That makes kind of sense. All right. Hey, Lisa O'Hearn is here coming up next. She is from the Sister Bay Historical Society and is going to tell us about a really cool event. I still have to tell my Vicodin story, too. We'll get to that, too. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Stay tuned for award-winning news over the break, and then we will be back with more Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Bye. Going all the time, and you
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.